We're doing Navi. We had learned about Gidon. We had learned about Gidon's humility, Gidon's refusal to take the throne. We had learned how Gidon passed away. He had 70 children. He had a son from a concubine named, what was the son's name? Avimelech, not such a Jewish name. And Avimelech then goes to Shechem. Okay, so we know where Shechem is, right here. Okay, he goes to Shechem, to his mother's family, and he says to them, why should you have 70 rulers? Why don't you just appoint one? And remember, I'm part of your family. So he convinces his relatives to talk to the rest of the family, to the leaders, and they give him 70 gold silver coins, and they take the 70 silver coins from their church, their house of idol worship, and they fund him. And so he hires mercenaries, and they go together to Ophrah. They cross the Jordan, they come into his father's territory, and they capture his 70 brothers, and he slaughters them all on one stone, except for his little brother Yotam. And then Yotam hears that the leaders of Shechem have gathered for a party. They're going to celebrate the inauguration of Avimelech. And so Yotam comes. And this is one of the famous standoffs in Tanakh. So Yotam stands on top of Mount Gerizim. And he calls out to the people of Shechem. And he says, listen, you leaders of Shechem, and may Hashem hear. And he tells them the following allegory. He is going to describe how all the trees wanted to appoint a tree that would be king over them. And they went to every tree that had good fruits, that had something to offer. And all those trees said, I'm too busy being productive. And so all the trees refused. And finally, they went to the thorn bush, who is only a threat to the other trees because he could bring a fire to all of them. And they asked him, could you be king over us? And the thorn bush says, oh, if you guys are so sincere, fine. Come and you could just spend time in my shade. Now, the thorn bush doesn't have shade. And if not, then a fire should come out and consume me and consume you together. And so too, he says, you guys took one who has nothing to offer you, and if you think what you've done is fair to my father who saved all of you by slaughtering his whole family, well then things should go well for you. But if you have not been fair to my father and his family, then may a fire come out and consume you and Avimelech, and may you all burn one another together, and his curse will come true. So in this allegory, there are many things that we learn in Halacha. Because when he describes how the trees went to the olive, and the olive tree, they told him, you be king, and the olive tree refuses, and then they go to the fig tree, and the fig tree tells them, I have so much sweet, I can't just go and give all of you shade. And then they go to the grapevine, and the grapevine says, I'm still productive. I still have fruits with which I make Hashem happy and people happy. So from here we learn that the songs of the Beit HaMikdash are set specifically over the libation of wine. How does the grapevine make Hashem happy? That when it is libated, the Levites would sing their song in honor of Hashem. And it also makes humans happy when people drink wine in the right portions, in the right amounts. And then they go to the thorn bush. And Yotam's curse is going to come true. For 3 years, Avimelech is king. The Torah, the Navi over here, doesn't explain. He just says king over Israel. So there are different opinions. Did he actually rule over all of Israel? Or just the area of Shechem? It doesn't say. And then Hashem caused ill will to settle between Avimelech and the leaders of Shechem. And they get annoyed at him. And they rebel against him. Yes. It's a good question for a Thursday night. So, there was no natural explanation for why this happened. Hashem wanted things to erupt between them. Don't forget, ask on Thursday night, okay? It's a good question. And so the leaders of Shechem, they set up ambushes in the mountains. And so any time Avimelech has one of his chariots passing down below, the Shechemites, the people of Shechem, they swoop down, their ambush steals all of Avimelech's goods. And Avimelech's getting upset. He's getting good and ready to go and teach them a lesson. So there's a man, not Jewish, who comes with his brothers to Shechem. His name is Gaal ben Evid. And the time is approximately Hanukkah time. It's time when people harvest their grain, their wine, their grapes. And so that was a time they would make parties over their harvest. Now, this is the grape harvest season. Now in the beginning of the winter. So they're eating and drinking, and as they drink, they're cursing Avimelech. And this newcomer has a big mouth. Gaal ben Evid says, "Who's Avimelech? Why should we be servants to him? And the governor he's established in this city, well, why is his mayor worth anything? His mayor Zvul, we have long roots. We used to have a king, Hamor. He was the one who ran Shechem. Well, why should we be servants to this Avimelech? If I were only in charge over here, I would remove Avimelech from his post, and I tell Avimelech, go bring on your army, let's see you now." So Zvul, here's what's going on. So it's true, everyone's drinking, and they're talking big, but he realizes that if he lets this ride, there might be a real rebellion here any minute. So he sends word to Avimelech, and he says, "You know, Gaal ben Evid has come here, and he's arising the people against you. They're setting up the city to be fortified and lead a rebellion against you. You better come here tonight and prepare an ambush in the field. And when the morning comes, they're going to try to go out to harvest their grapes. That's the time to swoop into the city and take over and bring back law and order here." So Avimelech takes heed. That night he brings his army and he prepares four battalions to swoop into Shechem. And Gaal ben Evid is standing by the gates of the city in the morning as the crack of dawn comes and the people go out to harvest their grapes. Gaal is standing there and he sees movement in the field. He sees like a large cloud, a large shadow is moving, and it's the huge army that's approaching. And he asks Zvul, he says, "Isn't there a nation attacking us from the mountains?" And Zvul says, no, it's just the shadows shifting. With the sun rising, the shadows are shifting, the shadows of the mountain. So Gaal says, "You know, I can see faces already. That's not a shadow." So Zvul says, "I want to see your big mouth now. You said we don't have to work, we don't have to serve Avimelech. You said you're ready to take him on in war. Go, fight now." So Gaal goes with the people of Shechem, and he leads them to war against Avimelech. And Avimelech is victorious, and Gaal flees, and Avimelech chases them till the gates. He's killing people from Shechem. And Zvul, who's the governor, and now he's regained his power in the city of Shechem, so he kicks out Gaal and his brothers. The next morning, the nation figures, okay, Gaal is gone, everything's calm. They go out again to harvest, and Avimelech returns. And this time, he prepares an ambush, and he's ready to kill all the people of Shechem. So Avimelech leaves his two battalions deep in the field, so that as the nation enters the field, they suddenly find Avimelech's army there waiting for them. And Avimelech has camped with one battalion right near the city, so that when the nation went out into the field, Avimelech could swoop into the city with his battalion. And he enters the city and captures the city and kills everyone in the city of Shechem. Remember, how did Avimelech come to power? He said, "You guys don't want 70 kings. Remember, you want a relative. You want me. I'm one of yours. I'll take good care of you." We never had such a thing Avimelech is so cruel to his own family, to his own people, he kills out the whole city. All of Shechem is murdered by Avimelech. And then he plants the whole city with salt, so they could never replant the city. It would take generations till the land becomes fertile again. Now, they had a tower called Migdal Shechem, and in that tower they felt very fortified. So they went to their church, Beit El Berit, where they had a church for their idols. And when Avimelech hears that the leaders have gone into that tower, so he comes with his people, and they cut down trees, and they bring the trees. He tells his people, bring them with me. Each one cuts down a tree, and they burn the tower with all the people inside. So they burn about 1,000 men, women, and children alive inside that tower. And then Avimelech continues to a nearby city called Tevetz, and he captures that city as well. He figures they're probably in on the rebellion too. And in that city, again, they had a tower. So everyone's climbing up the tower. They want to get to the roof. And Avimelech tells his people, same deal. Let's each bring a tree with us and we'll burn the people inside. And there's a woman inside and she has this big rock next to her, a rock that was used to grind the wheat. And she tosses it out the window and it bashes Avimelech in the head. And his skull is bashed by this huge stone and he sees he's dead. So he tells his lad, draw your sword and kill me quick. People shouldn't say about me that I was killed by a woman. And so his lad draws his sword and kills him. I mean, he was about to die anyways. And once he's dead, no one's interested in the fight anymore. And with that, the woman saved all the people in the tower. And here we have the fulfillment of the curse. Avimelech had killed out in cold blood. He killed out his 70 brothers. So the people of Shechem who funded him, they were all killed. And Avimelech was killed. And so the curse of Yotam, that Avimelech would be like a thorn bush that burns itself and burns the other trees, that curse came true. Now Avimelech's dead. So we have another leader called Tola ben Puah. He's from the tribe of Yisachar. He's ruler for 23 years. We don't know anything about him. And after he passes away, we have another leader called Ya'ir HaGiladi. He's from the eastern side of the Jordan, from Gilad. That's from the tribe of Menashe. And he also, we don't know anything about him. 22 years, he passes away. The only thing we know about him is that he had a very special family. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 special donkeys, and each one had their own city. They were all governors, and that's what's called Chavot Yair, the cities of Yair. And he passes away. The Jewish people continue sinning. They adopt 7 different types of idols, and Hashem's upset at them. And so Hashem gives them in the hands of the Philistines. And the Philistines are going to be our enemy from now until our first king, Shaul. From this point onward, we're going to be fluctuating from under Philistine rule and into Philistine rule. Modern archaeologists claim that the word Philistine is not one nation, but rather the word Philistine comes from the word polish, to break into territory. And that Philistine was a name of the peoples who used to attack us by sea. There were different tribes that would come in by sea, and that's why the Philistines are always around Gaza, around the port cities down here. Because it was in different times in Jewish history, there were different nations that would break into Israel and sometimes take over much of Israel. So the Philistines are conquering us, and once we're weak, so we also have the Ammonites, and we have a situation where we're being attacked on the east and on the west. And so the Jews pray to Hashem and say, we've transgressed. And Hashem says, yep, I've helped you all this time. I've saved you from 7 different nations. And you've gone on to serve 7 different gods. Not so nice. You've left me. You've served all these other gods. I'm not saving you anymore. Go, pray to the gods you've chosen. Let them save you now. So the Jews say, okay, Hashem, we've transgressed, but help us out, save us out just today. And they start purging the idols from within. They start doing tshuva, and they do a very good cleansing job, re-educating the people and doing a mass tshuva movement. And the pasuk uses a very interesting term. It says, "Vatikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael." Amal Yisrael is the suffering of Israel. Vatikzar nafsho. It says the Hashem couldn't stand it anymore. Hashem is connected to us, and so we have this situation where we don't have sovereignty, but these enemy nations would swoop in, take all our stuff, and leave. So the Ammonites are preparing out here in Gilad. Notice how often Gilad is the area where we're being attacked from, right? Ya'ira Giladi, and here again we have Gilad. So the leaders of Gilad say, who's going to lead us to fend off the enemy that threatens all of Israel? And now we shift. I didn't hear you. Maybe because that's close to the extremity, the eastern extremity of Israel. And maybe not. The Gemara says, "Begilad shchichei rotzchim." Gilad was a place where there were many murderers. And we will see now that even the leader that comes from Gilad is not so positive. And the leadership of Gilad are not so positive. Because there was a man named Gilad who lived in that territory, Giladi territory, and he married two wives. He had a wife from his tribe, Menashe, and he had a wife from another tribe. And his second wife from the other tribe gave birth to a boy named Yiftach. And as they grew, Yiftach's brothers, they said, "Ooh, your mommy, she comes from a different tribe. You're not inheriting our dad with us." And they kicked him out of town. And the elders of Gilad backed the brothers. And the halacha wasn't with the brothers. The brothers had no right to do that. He was an honest heir to his father. Just because his mother came from a different tribe did not entitle them to kick him out of the inheritance. But they did. And Yiftach was so persecuted by the brothers, he ran away. And when he ran away, so he developed a gang. And now that the area of Gilad is the most threatened area by the Ammonites, and by the way, Gilad is right near the border with Ammon, so the elders of Gilad, they come out to Yiftach and they say, "We'd like you to lead the military campaign against the Ammonites. Come with us to war, and then we'll appoint you as the leader of all of Gilad territories." So,
why are they asking him to lead the army?
That no one fit. That no one was prepared to do it.
So how is he fit?
He at least had a group of gangsters with him. The head of the mafia. What did we do when we wanted to get Jews out of Nazi grip? We sent the mafia. How did we save so many Jews? Many times. The mafia helped us. What? All kinds of people. So Yiftach says, "Bad deal what you're offering me. If I come back and win the war, of course I'm your leader." No. You guys are inviting me back, then I'm your leader now. Don't come to me and tell me you lead the war, you risk your life, and if you win, we'll appoint you leader. That's not fair. Hey, you want me to risk my life, you appoint me leader now.
His brothers dead?
His brothers are alive. But he was the only one fit to lead. Says, "You want me? If you want me to," he says, "if I win the war, then I'm going to be your king whether you like it or not. But if you're asking me to come now, you better appoint me now as your king." So here we see the difference between Yiftach and Gidon. Remember, Gidon had already won the war, and all the people had united and say, "Mesholbanu gamata gam bincha gam ben benecha." We want you and your son and your grandson to be our king. And Gidon had said, "No, not me, not my son, not my grandson. God is your king." Yiftach hasn't yet done a thing. They're only asking him to lead the war. And already he's saying, "Before I go to war, everyone has to agree, I'm the king here. I'm the leader of this territory." So they appoint him as their general, their leader, and Yiftach takes them to a place called Mitzpah, and there they take a vow before Hashem, and then Yiftach sends word to the Ammonite king, and he begins a dialogue. He says, "What issue do you and I have? Why are you coming to battle me for my land?" And the Ammonite king says, "No, we want a peace," right? This is going to sound like modern news. "We want peace. But when the Jews came into Israel, they took our territory. just give us back these swaths of land over here, and we will have peace with the Jewish people. So Yiftach sends word back to the Ammonite king, and he says, so says Yiftach, not true. We were told by Hashem not to take any Ammonite or Moabite territory. We didn't. You guys had a war before we even came to the scene, where you lost the land to Sihon and Og. Sihon fought you in battle. You lost swaths of territory to Sihon. When we came to the scene, you guys weren't even around. We took this territory from Sihon. God told us not to fight you. We couldn't fight you. So God took us out of Egypt with miracles. He brought us still here with miracles. And then when we went to war, we didn't go to war with you. We took this territory from Sihon. And even that war with Sihon wasn't our initiative. Sihon attacked us. When he attacked us, he lost. So we ended up with this territory. Look, this is what God gave us. But I want you to think about it, he tells the Ammonite king. Your pagan gods couldn't win Sihon's pagan gods. And our true God took down Sihon's pagan gods. So if Sihon's pagan gods are better than your pagan gods, and our God is better than Sihon's pagan god, not such a good idea you should be starting up with us. You're not going to win. And Ammon isn't willing to listen. He goes to war. And Yiftach reminds him, he tells him, you know, Balak, the king of Tzipor, he thought about attacking us, and he realized not a good idea. And he won you in battle. So you're going to start with us? Bad idea. Where you been now? It's been 300 years. Why are you waking up now that you want this territory? So he's saying, you should know, I've done nothing wrong to you. You have no valid claim in this war, and Hashem should judge between us. So the Ammonite king doesn't listen. He attacks, and Yiftach isn't waiting for an attack. He travels into Ammonite territory. He foresees the Ammonite attack, and he swoops into Ammon, and he attacks them in their own territory. And Yiftach takes a vow, and he says, if I win the Ammonites, Hashem, the first thing that greets me when I come home, I will offer you as an olah sacrifice. And Yiftach enters Ammonite territory, and he destroys 20 cities of the Ammonites. And he defeats them, such a terrible defeat, that the Ammonites are now subservient to Israel. If until now Israel was subservient to the Ammonites, now he's taken down 20 Ammonite cities, and they're subservient to us. Yiftach is headed home, and this is where we'll pick up, Ezrat Hashem, either tomorrow night or next week, because we didn't get our five chapters in, so we might...